Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Sidekick.
Yarr!
Today is March 13th, 2016, and this is Episode 11, Overlord. Welcome, once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners to the Anime Recommendation and Discussion Podcast,
Anime Buoy,
where we like to talk about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed, as well as shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as we feel they should be. This week, we're talking about a more recent show. We've heard a little bit of feedback that most of what we talk about are, you know, golden oldies, but, you know, oldies all the same, and so we wanted to do something pretty recent, a show that just finished airing.
Maybe not with giant robots.
Right? Something without giant robots that aired in the last year. So we decided on Overlord. This is a really fun series, really near and dear to the interests of both Sly Kick and I's hearts. So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but first we have some news bits. Slag, you want to get us going?
Yeah, Aniplex USA.
Aniplex
has released a English trailer for the Sword Art Online, the movie, Ordinal Scale film. And it's going to be coming to theaters in 2017.
Yeah, something really cool about this to me is that this movie was actually just announced worldwide this weekend, and we already have an English trailer for it. We already have confirmation that this movie is coming out in North America. I think that's fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to this. You know, Sword Art Online is, funny enough, it's kind of like a near neighbor to Overlord. We're going to talk about that. I actually like Overlord more, but Sword Art Online, at least the first 13 episodes or so, were fantastic.
Yeah.
So while I do have some concerns watching this trailer and what we know about the movie, that it's about yet another online game they all get stuck in, I'm still going to try to keep an open mind because at least the animation quality and stuff looks really good. So
yeah,
I'd like to give it a go.
Sword Art Online has just become huge over here. So,
well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it is, to me, you know, it's pretty cool that it's going to be playing in theaters here, at least as we understand it. So definitely something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
We also have word here that the new Funimation Entertainment app is now online. And, you know, I call it an app, but it's actually their new streaming platform. It's going to basically allow you to stream everything Funimation has licensed. And as we often talk about here on the show, Funimation is like one of the two people in North American anime these days.
Pretty much.
So the new app is already available on iOS, Android, Kindle, and Windows 10, and support for PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and Roku should be coming in May.
You can watch Goku on your Roku.
Oh, snap. Well done. Psyche, I know you did a little research into the pricing of this service. Do you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, so if you choose to not pay, you'll have to deal with ads and not have the full access to the archives, so kind of like a Hulu situation. But for $5 a month, you'll be able to get access to the entire HD library of shows subtitled, and $8 a month gives you dubbed versions if you really want them, and some bonus content, which is not specified here. So, I mean, for $5 a month, having everything that Funimation is licensed in Japanese subtitled, that's pretty great. Like you said, Funimation, believe it or not, has become like the premier anime company over here, so.
Yeah, which, you know, while it does boggle my mind, that's ultimately neither here nor there. I think this is a cool service. I actually plan on subscribing to it today. I think that obviously we want to make sure that, we're paying for the anime that we're watching. So it's definitely something I really strongly believe. And I think it's cool that this new platform is available. And I did a little research while Slaggy was talking about the pricing tiers. And it looks like the old Funimation app is still active on PS4, 3, Xbox One, and 360, and Roku devices. So you can get in on this now, and you'll just have to update to the new app once they launch in May.
Ah.
We also have word, and this is something I'm very, very excited about, that Utada Hikaru has a handful of new projects going on as she launches her return to music.
Yes.
She's going to be doing theme songs for the Japanese TV shows Hanataba o Kimi ni, and news...
I believe that's the name of the song.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry. The show is Toto Nechan.
Yes.
And the other show is New Zero. Both of these begin airing on April 4, so we should have new music from Utada in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So is News Zero an anime or like a news program?
Well, initially it was called a news program. Then people were just calling it an entertainment program. So I don't really know.
Huh.
Either way, New Utada Music. If you're listening to this show, you probably care about that.
Indeed.
All right, Slaggy, do you have any other news bits or is that it for us?
No, let's go over to Overlord.
All right. Well then, Slaggy, if you could take the honors for me of just sort of giving me the elevator pitch. What is Overlord? And I'd also like you to tell me a little bit about its genre and tone.
Sure. I mean, you want me to start by talking about kind of where its origin was, though?
I think that's a good call.
So, Overlord was originally a light novel by Kugane Maruyama-san, and then it was later adapted into a manga that is still ongoing, and an anime series. So, and the light novel series is also ongoing. So, you know, we're seeing more and more these light novels being adapted.
Yeah, I feel like everything these days is
an adaptation. Sword Art Online was based on light novels.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so basically, you know, kind of talking about the genre, we were talking about Sword Art Online. You know, in the recent years, we've really seen a lot of fantasy anime, which involves virtual reality MMOs, and then the players get stuck inside. So, you know, it's really easy to hear about Overlord and kind of write it off as just another one of those. But the premise of Overlord is that the main character, Momonga-sama, is...
I love that you call him Sama rather than San.
Well, I mean, because in
that is how his disciples refer to him. I know.
Yeah.
Please keep going.
So in this game, this MMO game, Yggdrasil, I never can say that right. It's, you know, like the Norse word. So
I'm not going to correct you because I don't know either. I've always just said Yggdrasil.
Yeah, you know, that word. So basically, he's the avatar of... just a kind of a normal Japanese businessman guy. We don't really know too much at least in the anime yet about like what his backgrounds were, but he and his guild were players who like all had day jobs. So, you know, like they would pride themselves on, you know, reaching high levels, but still, you know, being able to maintain day jobs and be functioning members of society, which, you know, kind of pokes fun at the whole perception of MMO players. And also they were like, undeads and slimes, so they were non-human races. So, and in this MMO, the non-human races were often targeted for player kills and such. So basically they had built up this kind of dungeon of their own. They had like raided the dungeon and then set up as their headquarters. And so it starts out with some of the players hanging out on the last day of the MMO. So the MMO is shutting down, and so they want to, you know, stay on until the end, and, you know, just so they're just kind of reflecting on the memories. And so the difference is that Momonga, who is this skeleton mage,
super badass looking skeleton mage.
Yes. When it hits midnight and the server's supposed to go off, he is stuck in the MMO. And what ends up happening is that the world of the MMO, or at least their castle that they have, their dungeon, gets transported into what they call the New World, which, I mean, there's still a lot we don't know about it, at least from, you know, this season of the anime. And all of the NPCs are, you know, interacting with him. So, you know, it's definitely a twist on the, we're humans all stuck in an MMO and we're going to die.
Yeah,
so
it's something I really like about this show is that his shtick isn't really, I want to escape necessarily. He also sort of becomes interested in this world and being there and experiencing this world. So it's, to me, it's a little different from the usual take on this sort of subgenre of
yeah,
anime.
And he's also super overpowered, so kind of in the same way that One Punch Man gets a lot of its humor from, you know, being super OP. You know, he just has like these high levels of magic that most of the humans in the New World don't have, and so they just see him like as this, like, you know, he disguises himself as a wandering adventurer and kind of goes into the, you know, capital city to do like basically like monster hunts and stuff and like guild quests and stuff like that. And so it's just, it's a really fun twist on, you know, what we're used to seeing from these MMO, sort of stuck in an MMO anime where it's like, oh, we've got to defeat the evil corporation that's trapped us in here.
Yeah, and you know, so it's really fun, you know, it's a full of like nerd humor in that very specific like Japanese game player nerd humor. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of references to, you know, specific like MMO moves, and like, you know, he can still access the UI of the MMO and like give himself buffs or you know, things like that. So
yeah, so Overlord ran on Japanese TV from July 7th, 2015 to September 29th, 2015. It ran for 13 episodes. And yeah, it's a really fun, very fantasy take on, you know, this sort of stuck in an MMO premise. It's not like, you know, a Sword Art Online has some like science fiction-y elements. Overlord is not like that. How he got stuck in the game is not necessarily something that is, you know, looked at a ton. Like, it's certainly a question that's raised, but it's not like the whole point of the show, like you saw with something like Dot Hack, where the Dot Hack series is about this mystery. And Overlord is, it's a little lighter, it's a little fluffier, it's a little more fun, I think is probably the best way to say it, which is actually why I really enjoyed watching it. So that, because I watched a few episodes when it was first airing, and I sort of decided, you know, I like this show enough that I'd like to recommend it to people. So I recommended it to Slagkick, and you know, he agreed this was something we both liked enough to talk about here on the show. But it is a lot lighter than most of what we normally talk about. It doesn't have, it's not, you know, done by the creatives of any like major like game changers in the world of Japanese animation like we often end up talking about. It's just a really cute, fun show that I really enjoyed watching.
It is worth noting that it was done by Madhouse. So, I mean,
well, you know, Madhouse, that is very true.
You know, one of the best studios, you know, known for Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust, Trigun, Death Note, One Punch Man, you know, just among many, many others.
Indeed. The series director is Naoyuki Ito-san. You might be familiar with his work on the series Canon, where he was the chief director. He did director work on Cutie Honey. He was series director on Digimon Data Squad. He did some of the TV specials for the Kindaichi Case Files. He did work on one of the Precure movies. So definitely someone who has done like some really cool stuff. And I'm really happy that, you know, he did Overlord, because I actually thought that he brought some really interesting stylistic elements to it. You know, there's nothing, again, like world-changing in the way it's animated. But for what it is, I think it's a very pretty and visually consistent series.
Yeah.
The series was written by Yukie Sugawara-san. You might be familiar with her work on The Asterisk War, doing script work, The Irregular at Magic High School, doing script work on the first season of Sword Art Online, and unfortunately the second. And she's actually a scenario writer on the second, so yeah. But her work on Overlord was really good. I actually thought that the script was one of the high points.
Yeah.
I really like a lot of the humor. I really like the way that a lot of the characters develop over time and sort of take on more of the persona of like the human players that they were most associated with. I thought that overall I was really into the story and the storytelling specifically. So I really enjoyed that aspect of this show. So like, what did you think about the character design?
I loved the character design. You know, the animation from Madhouse, you know, was great. But what I really liked is just all the different unhuman or non-human, I guess you could say.
Inhuman,
yes. Thank you, races. Like I said, Momonga Sama looks super badass. And like, basically he looks like what you would expect like a villain to be, but he's like not really that bad of a guy. So
well, and that's something that I like, is that he himself, he seems like a good guy. And especially early on in the series, he asks himself a lot of times like, oh, I'm supposed to be a villain, what should I do? But even like when he's trying to be villainous, he's still really more of a good guy than most of the characters in the show, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah, and so all of his NPC who are now like interacting with him, companions, are like there's, you know, a vampire girl, there's
the giant insecty one,
yeah, and then there's a kind of like horned girl.
Don't forget the demonic butler.
And the demonic butler, yes.
Because you have to have a demonic butler
and some like dark magic elves and stuff. So
yeah, and you know, it's all really well designed. The reason I was asking about the character design is that I wanted to talk a little bit about character designer Takahiro Yoshimatsu-san. And you're probably familiar with his work doing character design for such TV adaptations as, I don't know, Trigun, Slayers, the Ninja Scroll TV series, did animation work on Martian successor Nadeshko, character design work on Jubei-chan.
Yeah, the
key animation work on Dragon Ball Z.
From what I read, the Nadeshko work was specifically on Geki Gengar,
which is awesome. Yeah, I do see the Geki Gengar OVA here under his credits as well, which is awesome. So, oh, and also some people asked us after last week, we talked about OVAs a lot. OVAs are original video animation. It's a term used in Japan as like direct to video, but whereas in North America, when you think of something being direct to video, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it's more of like a prestige project. Yeah. Like, oh, this is like a high budget feature that you're going to have to pay to watch rather than just getting it on TV because it's special.
Mm-hmm. And it's the things such as like Tenchi Muyo, for example, that are really well known, got their start as OVAs.
Yeah, and then in cases like that, and you saw this with a lot of that early AIC work, stuff like that, El Hazard,
right.
A lot of times the OVAs would be sort of almost like test runs, and then after seeing like, okay, this is a viable product, then they would produce a TV series to expand the fan base and the audience. The last person I want to talk about, though, in the creative side of Overlord is the music composer Shuji Katayama-san. And I'm actually not really familiar with a lot of Katayama-san's work other than, I guess, minor contributions to the Naruto Shippuden Lost Tower movie.
Yeah, apparently he did music for Fantasista Doll, which I'm not familiar with, and
something called Francesca.
Your Roommate's 3D.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
I've never heard of it, so I'll have to look into that a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, like, given that music is something that we're always paying attention to, and you know, something that, you know, if anyone listening is a newer fan of anime, when you compare anime and Western animation, I think this actually applies to just Japanese cinema and Western cinema in general. Western works typically fill most things with music or some sort of ambient sound, and so oftentimes in, you know, Japanese works, including anime, there will be times where there's, you know, just silence in the background, so which I think often makes the music stand out more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though I'm not really familiar with Katayama-san's work, I thought the pieces in the show were really good. Like, you know, a lot of it kind of having that medieval sort of fantasy feel. I mean, I thought it was really fitting. Maybe not anything as memorable as, you know, some of the bigger shows that have, you know, really memorable musical motifs. But I thought it was really fitting for the show. And
yeah, you know, again, it's not, you know, my favorite anime score I've ever heard, certainly, but it was suitable to the setting. It set the scenes well. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd buy a, you know, like an OST release right. of it, but I liked it. It was good.
I mean, it's just not up on the level of like Escaflowne Evangelion, where, you know, you hear like, do-do-do-do-do-do, and you like immediately like takes you there, right?
So anyway, I want to move on a little bit because I don't want to talk too long today about this show because, again, it's a really easy show to just pop in and watch. It's only 13 episodes.
Yep, it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. It's on Funimation, which we were just talking about. So it's pretty easy to watch this. Let's just talk a little bit, though, Slaggy. What are your favorite moments of this series?
Well, I have a few specific moments that I really loved, but I think overall what I really liked, and kind of tying into kind of like one of what I thought was the most important themes, was I just really liked the way that even though these were NPCs, like he treated them like with the same respect and like leadership that he would his actual guild from the game. So just as someone who's at this point been playing MMOs for, you know, 10 years at this point, that just really, like, I thought it really captured well, you know, when you're playing with close friends and, you know, and the memories, especially when he would flash back to thinking about, like, you know, his friends in the game and, you know, how he, like, the guild actually started with one of his, who ended up becoming his friend, like, rescued him from player kills and stuff. It just really made me think, like, oh, it, like, really spoke to that experience of being in an MMO. And then even with the characters that he meets, he's always like, oh, their teamwork is really strong, even if their magic is only third tier, you know. They really care about each other, and, you know, there's a reason that they fight together. So I think that was an overall trend that I really liked. But as far as specific moments, I think even though some of the Moe humor got a little bit too, took, you know, they took it a little too far at some points. When Albedo has the body pillow, the Moe body pillow of Momonga-sama.
Yeah.
Because basically her settings were tinkered with by Momonga-sama to be like super lusty over him because he thought the server was shutting down. So he's like, might as well have some fun. But she ends up being like, oh, I'm going to be your bride, blah, blah, blah. And ends up having a Moe pillow of him. And then the...
Which, that actually made me cackle, I have to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, there's one episode that focuses on, like, the king of the forest, and it's supposed to be this, you know, ferocious beast, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I just, the way that that played out, like, I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that actually, I want to tie into the first part of what you said in particular, you know, I love Dot Hack. I love the first season of Sword Art Online. Like, people getting stuck in an MMO is kind of my jam, you know, as someone who's very much into anime and gaming and online gaming. But in those other games, like, I never really identified with, like, Dot Hack characters. I never really identified with Kirito from Sword Art Online.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely did identify with Momonga-san quite a bit, like, because the way that he acts is the way that I would like to act in MMO games, where
yeah.
He's treating everyone respectfully, he's just being, like, a really good guy, and even, again, the NPCs, he's still, like, being a good person to them, even though, as far as he knows, they're not real people.
Yeah, and, like, the thing that I think really differentiates Overlord for me for something like Sword Art Online is that, you know, Sword Art Online is, like, Kirito is just basically himself, or Asuna, she's, like, basically herself. They act like themselves. But what you get a lot of with Overlord is that you'll hear Momonga's inner monologue, and he'll be like, oh, crap, I've got to act like a leader right now. And then he'll be like, you know, like, really serious, like, the way he's presenting himself. And I just think that that's a really clever look at, you know, the way that we represent ourselves when we're playing MMOs. Like, you know, even if you don't play on, like, a role-playing server, I think we all kind of have, you know, an idea when we play an MMO of, like, oh, my character kind of has this personality, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's at least always how I've kind of approached my characters, so...
Well, and that's what I mean, because I approach my characters that way as well. And this was sort of the first show that I really feel like brought that to the characterization of the situation. Like, I never really feel that way about Kirito in Sword Art or the characters in Dot Hack necessarily.
Right.
But in Overlord, I definitely did. I got the sense of, like, this is a person, he's playing his character, he has, like, a lot of feelings about how his character should be interacting in this setting, and he's doing his best.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really worked for me in a way that was really unique.
I almost feel like in other stuck in an MMO games, like, the MMO aspect of it starts to get downplayed, but, like...
Well, because they're too busy focusing on who's kissing whose sister and what have you.
But in Overlord, you know, it's just, it's always present. There's a, you know, climactic battle at the end of this series that I'm not going to, or, you know, end of the season that I'm not going to spoil, but I was cackling because of just the way it was presented, and it was, like, super MMO-like. And then even with, like, one of his closest friends' character name was Touch Me, so they would refer to him as, like, oh, I'm going to serve you the same way I served Touch Me-sama. It just makes you think, like, you know, like...
When you see someone out there whose name is, like, Dickballs 420.
Yeah, exactly.
The same way I would treat Dickballs 420.
So, I mean, it plays with that MMO aspect a lot more than, you know, like, some of the other anime I've seen.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that point. I think that that actually is a really fantastic observation. But I don't want to talk too much longer here because, again, I think that if you've heard anything in this episode about this show that interests you, I think you should just take the plunge and jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say, you know, to the degree that there are serious themes in this show, Slaggy, like, what did you take away from this show thematically that, you know, like, what was this show really talking about?
I mean, like I said, I think the... kind of the camaraderie and the teamwork of, you know, being in an adventuring party and, you know, not just within the context of the MMO, because they meet some characters along the way, and, you know, the way that people work together for a common goal is, you know, always kind of highlighted.
Yeah, yeah, which, again, you know, to me is one of the best aspects of MMOs, so...
Yeah, because there's also some political things going on, and, you know, we start to get some very big hints of where it's going to go next. next in the final episode credits. But, you know, most of it, throughout most of it, is just kind of like this sense of exploring the world and, you know, setting out on adventures. And, you know, for most of the time, Momonga-sama is like accompanied by his companions, or, you know, various companions of his. So,
yeah. And, you know, something I do want to say about this show, because, you know, we keep referring to it sort of, we're sort of going back and forth on calling it a show or a season, is that, you know, this was recently announced that it will be getting a second season.
For a while, people were kind of worried, I think.
Yeah, people were very worried for a little while there. So I'm really happy that, you know, it is going to get a continuation. There will be more of it. That also puts it in a little bit of a unique position for us. We don't often talk about shows that only have one season. But again, you know, I really enjoyed watching this. I highly recommend it. And I still wanted to talk about it, even knowing that it sort of ends still in the middle of the story in some ways. Like, it does have a satisfactory narrative arc, but there's clearly, like, mm-hmm. more that still needs to happen.
Yeah, I think the series so far covers, like, the first three light novels.
That's my understanding, and there have been 9 published so far in Japan, so definitely still a ways to go. So, anyways, Psyche, do you have anything else you want to say about Overlord?
No, just that, you know, unlike so many other MMO-based anime, like, I actually really want to play an Overlord game.
All right.
Even if it's not, like, you know, MMO-ish, I just want to be Lord Momonga and use all this magics.
Yeah, I think that it would be really fun to play an Overlord game, and it kind of bothers me now that, as far as I know, there isn't one.
There'll be a mobile social card game.
Ah, don't say that. That's sad. Anyway, let's move forward then and talk a little bit about what's going on.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Slaggy, what have you been watching?
Well, aside from Overlord, you know, pretty much just been trying to keep up on Dragon Ball Super. You know, the new arc has been really good. It's the first, I don't want to say the first original content, but it's the first one that hasn't been featured in a movie. Even though I've enjoyed watching the way that the series has, you know, kind of transformed the stories of the movies, it, you know, focuses heavily on Beerus-sama, who's, you know, like, one of my new favorite characters. And, yeah, I just really look forward to, you know, watching it, and I'm hoping that it, you know, eventually gets an official licensing. I mean, I'm sure it's just a matter of time, but
yeah, but still, I certainly hope that it does. It's kind of upsetting to me that it hasn't yet.
Yeah. So what about you?
Well, actually much the same. My anime week has been catching up on Dragon Ball, watched a little bit of Sailor Moon Crystal.
Oh.
And you know, watching Overlord in preparation for this show. So I have a whole slate of things to watch in the next 2 weeks so that we have more to talk about. And yeah. I'm really looking forward to that, too. So.
All right.
All right. Do we have any social links this week?
Yeah, we have a few tweets to catch up on. So first we have Twitter user Edward Wong 4, which of course is a name we highly approve of.
Yes.
A friend of ours from over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Saying, loving the AnimeBuoy.org podcast. It's super fun.
Oh gosh, thank you. We think you're super fun too.
And I apologize for not seeing this on time. This was back in the beginning of the month. Crystal Idea said, since I'm stuck in bed for the next 2 days, recommendations for cyberpunk anime, please. I've already watched the Serial Experiments Lane, so I'm looking for something new. And I feel super bad because I wish that I had been able to get back to her in a timely manner, but what would some of your cyberpunk recommendations be?
Easy one would be Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Yeah.
Probably also Psychopass. Ergo Proxy is pretty good. If you're trying to go older, you might consider something like Votums, which was also Giant Robot-y but had cyberpunk elements. There's a Battle Angel Alita OVA that is kind of garbage but still fun, like on a sick day in particular. Armitage the Third, probably a good bet. Those are probably the ones I would recommend.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good recommendations.
Akira, if you've never seen it, obviously. Any of the Bubblegum Crisis stuff. Dirty Pair has some of those elements, but it's not really the focus, so I probably wouldn't recommend that. And that's all that's coming to mind right this moment.
I think it's a pretty good starting place.
I'd like to think so.
And Edward Wong 4, again, sending us a tweet, or tweet tweeting us a tweet saying, feeling nostalgic and reminiscing about Honey and Clover, and it still kills me. We'd love to see an episode of AnimeBooey.org about it.
We absolutely will do an episode on that at some point. Like, just full tilt, that is going to happen.
So, thank you for your tweets, and we love your feedback. We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. And we effing love Twitter.
We love Twitter.
So please go to animebooey.org if you want to listen to our past episodes. Although at this point, most of them are still up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, which we also love.
Also, animebooey.org.
Animebooey.org. You can mail us at mailbooey@animebooey.org.
Mailbooey@animebooey.org.
And I think just about does it.
All right. Well, as ever and always, I would like to throw out a couple of shout outs to where other places you can hear us and our friends. Our main show, of course, where Slaggy and I talk about left of center gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar but most definitely should be, is GameBooey.org.
GameBooey.org.
In addition, I'd like to recommend the show that I do with Shane Olenko, Ranger Pridecast. If you're interested in what we talk about here on Anime Booey, you're probably going to be interested in what we talk about on Ranger Pridecast, where we talk about the current season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, as well as the currently running Japanese Super Sentai series.
Yeah, you guys are pretty shark sharp on that show.
Ah, yes, thank you. What about you, Slaggy? What do you want to recommend?
Well, I'd like to direct you, if you like listening to us talk, but you want it a little cattier, and you'd like Rob from Orange Lounge Radio involved, and you'd like Dalvin from Video Game Realness involved, then you should listen to our currently back on season RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, Reading is Fundamental, the podcast where we serve tea and dish on everything Drag Race, hunty. And if you want something that is equally dramatic and staged, then you should check out Tables, Letters, and Podcast, which is a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. The wrestling is like super dramatic and staged, not the podcast. The podcast is great.
I followed, and I trust our listeners did too.
And of course, if you do like listening to video games, then over on GameBooey.org.
GameBooey.org.
We shout out to a bunch of great video game podcasts that definitely should be on your radar.
And
if before we go, if you have any anime podcasts, we'd really love to hear about them.
Oh yeah, actually that would be fantastic.
Also, you should go to the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
VogNetwork.com.
Which our parent show, GameBooey, is a proud member of.
And in fact, you can find Ranger Pridecast over there too.
Yep.
So all right. Well, thank you so much everyone for listening. We truly, truly, truly appreciate you spending your time with us. Hopefully you've had even half as much fun listening to us as we've had talking to you today about Overlord. We'll be back at you in 2 weeks, but until then, keep watching, keep thinking, and owari to hajimari. Mics are hot. Speak into your mic.
Mics are hot.
Hot mic. Hot mic.
Get your hot mics here.
Ooh, hot mic.
Magic mic.
All right. Are you ready to go?
Yep.